This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
March continues into April. A buzzer beater for Gonzaga sets up a date against Baylor for a historic championship game, while on the women's side, Stanford beats Arizona 54-53 to win for the first time a championship since the early 90s. Meanwhile, the Capitol Police, once again, are mourning a lost officer, where you just scratch your head and say, how, oh, how can this be? And Christians around the world are coming off of a very big weekend in celebrating the Easter Sunday services and doing them in different ways during the pandemic. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, how are you? What's shaking in your part of the world? Whatever nook and cranny that you hail from, I hope that you are well, my friends. Let's talk about the celebrations. And, you know, you're coming off of Passover and then swinging into the big Christian holiday. And the way that this has happened during the pandemic for many churches is to do things outdoors, or to do things where you've got social distancing and streaming. That's been something that's happened because there were some church choirs that came down with COVID, if you remember, in the beginning of the pandemic. So that's changed some of the ways churches operate. Other churches felt like they're safe and fine. And especially in areas like Texas, where everything is reopened, there were people who went to church, but there also was the option of streaming. The Pope did his service streaming, as it normally would be on television or streamed anyway, but St. Peter's Square would be jammed with thousands and thousands of people. So once again, St. Peter's Square at the Vatican in Italy is shut down for visitors, so that did not happen. So it's eerily familiar, but the celebration goes on, and it did in many, many, many different ways. Some people were celebrating other things, like the fact that they got a vaccine. 106.2 million people have been vaccinated with at least one dose in the United States, and that covers almost 40% of those eligible, which means 16 and older, and then 32% of the total population. I got a lot of photos from texts with photos from friends who were excited because their whole families had been vaccinated and they were celebrating Easter with them, and said, wow, this is the first time we can do it. And they had no masks on and they were hugging, and it was very, I have to say, it was very cool to see that. Yes, indeed. The price of a hug. Oh, my. Yeah, one of my best buddies, two nieces, just adorable, and I've heard all the stories about them since they were little girls, and now they're teenagers, and just to see those wide smiles and see how happy they were was just really terrific to see that. And I hope that you're getting to do things like that in your world. Of course, the concern, and we'll talk about as we get deeper into the week, is what's going on with the variants and the sidebars of what's happening with the vaccine and how long does it last and all the other questions that now abound. The thing that I saw that I thought was sad to me is Delta Airlines had to cancel, they say, about 100 flights because they had staff shortages. So you could think, well, what was that about? And it and they had opened up middle seats a month earlier than expected, so they were going to carry more passengers. They said they had over 1 million passengers during the past couple of days, the highest since the coronavirus pandemic started, and they had to apologize to customers for the inconvenience. The majority of people were rebooked for travel the same day, but what they said was they had staff shortages. So because of that, they couldn't accommodate all the people. So here they finally get people, but get people to fly. People are vaccinated, people are flying, all that sort of stuff. And then they're stuck with, oh, we don't have enough staff. And they say that the Delta teams, this is what they released, Delta teams have been working through various factors, including staffing, large numbers of employee vaccination, and pilots returning to active status. And some employees, this is what they said. So this does not instill confidence to people who are worried about the vaccine. Some employees were having adverse side effects from being vaccinated. So there were websites at three Delta hubs that showed 33 canceled arriving or departing flights. And there were a bunch at Atlanta's Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport, our biggest in the United States. Then Detroit, another big airport. Minneapolis, another big airport. So 100 flights. And unfortunately, if you were on that, were booked on one of those, you had to be rebooked, and hopefully you were rebooked for the same day. This is the kind of stuff that is happening. Then you had, at Disney, because they've opened up, you had some guests arrested for refusing temperature checks. Then you had a couple, and it was really the woman, that made a fuss about having to wear the mask. She was initially wearing it and then freaked out at the flight attendant and then was escorted off. And then there was a viral TikTok because somebody on the plane did a video of what went down. And so people were talking about that. In Paris, they fear the worst of all. So they think the worst wave to come is coming. In Italy, they're tired of it, but they're in another lockdown. In Europe, and I know we have people listening in other parts of the world, it's very sad. Paris medics say they fear the worst wave. They're the ones saying that based on what they're seeing, because they're looking at the beds and saying that the beds don't even have time to cool down before you've got somebody already coming in to occupy the bed, that they're seeing that the hospitalizations are peaking and that it's really, really complicated. And part of that complication is the way the logistical nightmare of what's happening with the vaccines and the vaccine rollout, which is much different than what's happened in the United States. The CDC director says in the U.S. that she's in a delicate position because she tries to balance optimism with the increase of vaccinations and the discussions of, like what I said, of people sending photos and so excited about being able to hug and be with their families, with the reality that the U.S. is still in the grip of a deadly pandemic. And she did say, her name is Rochelle Walensky, that she would say the truth even if it wasn't the news people wanted to hear. So you do hear her that way. She is walking a tightrope of trying to be clear and communicating what she believes is what we're looking at. But you got to believe that when people have received at least one dose of the vaccine and then they're getting the second one, woohoo, it's time to go and see people. So waiting the 2 weeks and then jumping on flights, I think that's why you've seen the uptick in flight, so grandparents and families and others can be reunited. This or that, coming up on the flip side.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck. or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A 1 pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Only thinks about the. You got a real big heart, but I'm looking at you. You got real big brains, but I'm looking at you. Girl, it ain't no pain in me looking at you.
I don't give a keep looking at me, 'cause it don't mean a thing looking at me.
The technical maestro for this show joins us. Hey, Sir Eric.
What's up, Kate?
Did you go on any Easter egg hunts today?
No, I wish. I was longing to, though.
When you were a kid, did your family do that, or did you go somewhere and do that?
We did a few times, yeah.
It's fun.
It was, yep.
My mother would be just crazy about the Easter thing. Like, we would have these incredible Easter baskets, and she would hide the basket. We'd have to find the basket.
Nice.
Like, yeah, where is the basket? We want the chocolate already. I want to bite the ears off that chocolate bunny. And she hid them pretty good. Sometimes it took a while to find them. And I did a couple Easter egg hunts, I remember. You know, they would have Easter eggs with money in it, money or chocolate or something else. It was fun.
Yeah, like a fiver, a little fiver.
Yeah, and a little fiver when are you kidding? When you're a kid, it's like, whoa, someone gave me gold. What's $5? Yeah, it's huge, right?
Even still.
Even still, exactly. Send me $5, exactly. Well, you can go through the drive-thru, you can get a soda, you can get a Slurpee. I don't know. You can go get some healthy food even. So it's all good.
Yep. Healthy lunch.
Yeah, healthy lunch. for this or that, for the first one, double screening, do you do it? Double screening is where you're watching television, a movie, or you're binging a series, watching whatever it is, watching a news program, a documentary, and you are also paying attention to your phone. So this or that, do you double screen?
Yes, sometimes yes.
So you, that means if you do the double screen, that you couldn't be interested in what's on the tube, or you just can't help yourself, you're just double screening.
I multitask a lot. Like, I'll be researching something on my phone while, like, a TV show is going on or something. So, like, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so it still is double screening, just so you know. You're a double screener. Well, I can't really chastise you too much for that because I do the same thing. I'm answering somebody's trying to get a hold of me for something, and, really, the phone is not a phone. It is a mini computer. That's what it's like for me, or texting device, and I end up, that's what I'm doing. A lot of times I'm replying to something, but when something's really good, I just don't double screen. If there's something that I really want to watch, and I try not to do that because I don't think it's good. I think after a while, the multitasking is bad for you. Like, just do it and put the phone down.
You think so? You don't think the multitasking thing helps
at
all?
No, I think it's bad. I think it's bad because you're fractured attention. Like, you need a break. Especially if you do it a lot, because then it becomes a thing. Your phone is, you see it. You see it everywhere you go. People, I don't care how old they are, everybody has the phone. It's this thing with technology, Sir Eric, where it's the good and the bad of technology, right? So people aren't paying attention to things they should be paying attention to. But then, on the other hand, you can quickly have a nice text to somebody, say Happy Easter to somebody you haven't seen in a long time because you don't have time for a call because you're with your family or whatever it is. So that's the yin and the yang of it. But I think if there's something really good that has your attention, you're not double screening. That's the thing about the movies, because people were so bad about that they had to say, if you text and talk on your phone, we will remove you from the theater. So double screening doesn't happen that much at movie theaters, because if they catch you, they'll yank you out. But we don't have people aren't going back to the movies.
All kinds of problems in this one.
Yeah, all kinds of problems. Yeah.
That's a good point, though, because, like, yeah, if you do double screen too much, like, I notice I feel, like, exhausted afterwards.
Yes. Yeah, so at some point you just have to put it down and you'll get back to whatever it is. That's what I think. I just think it's healthy to put it down and get back to it, especially if you hit it hard a lot lately, especially during the pandemic. Facebook. So there's been this breach of Facebook. 533 million Facebook users, phone numbers, personal data, all that's been leaked online. So here's the question. Let's say you're using Facebook. Are you really putting a lot of personal information out there? Why do you put your phone number on your Facebook account? Why would you let that be out there for everybody? That's my question. So this or that, do you do that with Facebook? Do you put all your personal information out there?
No, I haven't had Facebook since, I want to say, 2014 or something like that. 2013, maybe, even.
Because you decided, I don't want to keep up with it, I don't want to do it.
I noticed I was checking it too much, and I was using it less and less, and I don't remember how much personal information I had on there, but I don't think I had my phone number on there, so... So, no.
Yeah, that's what I say, no. I get it. I mean, if somebody has their email, if they want to have their email, fine, whatever. But to put a bunch of other stuff on there, I'm so surprised by that. But, you know, people use Facebook for different things. People sell things on Facebook, and they actually make money doing it. So I get that part of it, absolutely. If you have the chance to swim with the dolphins or cage dive with sharks, which would you do, this or that, the dolphins or the sharks?
Sharks.
Because it'd be cooler, and you could big time everyone by saying you swam with sharks.
Pretty much, exactly. Yeah.
It's the guy brag thing.
Bragging rights.
Right. Hey, you're never going to believe what I did. Yes, I was in a cage and there were sharks swarming everywhere. It was pretty amazing.
I would get really good at telling that story.
I think I would get good at telling that story, too. It amazes me when I meet people. I've met a lot of people who have done it. I shouldn't say a lot. A handful. And when I meet people that have done it, they usually, it's just a weird thing that all of a sudden comes out. Like, they're not, it's not their calling card, but then somehow you get to that and they say, oh, well, when I swam with the sharks, and you look at them, you swam with the sharks? Where'd you do that? Oh, in Africa or wherever. And it's always some really exotic place, too.
Okay.
Yeah, but
what
there's
kind of
something
sharks?
About it. Big sharks, giant sharks, bull sharks, crazy sharks, crazy dangerous sharks. But you're in a cage, so you must be safe. I'm sure you sign away your life, because how could they... What if something happened? What if they did ram the cage and break it? To my knowledge, that hasn't... That has happened with divers, but not in these where they're taking you out things. But that would be scary.
But it's still safe, right?
I would think it would be safe. Okay. Pretty, you just have to psych yourself.
Dolphins can get a little feisty, too.
Correct? They can. They say that dolphins... Then you hear these great stories about dolphins where they push people into the shore and help surfers. And, you know, there was a... I used to live in California. I used to see dolphins every time I ran on the beach at Pismo Beach. If anybody listening, if you've never gone to the central coast of California, it's such a hidden secret. It's incredible. Well, they'd have these, every once in a while there'd be like a little pod of them. I guess there was a super pod, 1,000 dolphins swimming in, at Dana Point in Orange County. And that's rare. It lasted for 4 hours. And I saw some of the footage of it. Somebody sent it to me. It's out there, I'm sure, on the internet. And it's called a dolphin stampede.
Awesome.
Isn't that cool? Here I was at Dana Point, and I saw the dolphin stampede. And I've seen dolphins near boats in Galveston, Texas, and I've seen a lot of them, but never a pod of them, but never that kind of a thing, where it was a super pod, which is a stampede, if you will, of them, which I think is really cool. Very cool.
Interesting.
It is interesting. All right, how about this? We always have to talk about food. So shelled peanuts or unshelled, and what I mean by that is like pistachios are shelled, peanuts, you have to, you know, get rid of the shell, walnuts, same thing, regular peanuts, a lot of times you can have the shelled peanuts, or the unshelled, like cashews, almonds, which are you, this or that?
I'm glad you brought this up, because... I never really thought about it that much, but I think I'm unshelled kind of guy.
Unshelled peanuts.
Unshelled everything, I think.
Yeah, you just don't want to deal with the shell. You just want to, the food, and that's it. Cashews, almonds.
No, I meant
shelled.
Shelled, yeah. That's what
you want to deal with the shell, so you want to open the pistachios and the walnuts and all that.
Yep.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. I like pistachios, and I like the whole walnut thing. I kind of like the idea of cracking the shell. So we agree on that.
Nice.
How about that? Nice way to end this. All right, I'm going to go swim with the sharks. Thank you, Sir Eric.
Thank you, Kate.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
I can't believe you found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Thank you for listening to GCN.
Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Biden administration is trying to sell the nation on the president's infrastructure plan. The proposal contains funding to modernize roads, bridges, railways, and airports, but Republican lawmakers say there's too much money in the proposal for things other than infrastructure. Missouri Senator Roy Blunt said Sunday that he'd like to see the plan reduced down to include just the infrastructure projects that have bipartisan support. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves agrees. He tells CNN that while infrastructure is one of the vital functions of government, he believes the Biden plan will raise taxes more than it will build roads.
The problem with this particular plan, though, is although the Biden administration is calling it an infrastructure plan, it looks more like a $2 trillion tax hike plan to me. That's going to lead to significant challenges in our economy. It's going to lead to a slowing GDP, and it's going to lead to Americans losing significant numbers of jobs.
You're listening to USA Radio News. Gun control could be headed back to the Court of Appeals.
Epoch Times reports a coalition of 22 states led by Republican attorneys general have called on the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to rule against California's attempt to ban magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. The legal challenge is led by Arizona and Louisiana's attorneys general. In 2016, California banned so-called high-capacity magazines holding 10 rounds or more. A federal judge later ruled that was unconstitutional. The Ninth Circuit's full 11-member panel has agreed to rehear the case. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
And a unit of the detention center at Guantanamo Bay has closed after falling into disrepair. The prisoners held in Camp 7 were moved to other parts of the facility, though officials did not say how many prisoners were moved. Camp 7 was previously used as part of a network of CIA detention centers where enhanced interrogation took place. The existence of the camp was initially denied when opened in 2006. There are about 40 prisoners still held at Guantanamo Bay. This is USA Radio News.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
I can't tell you how thrilled I am to bring on this show Dr. Norm Shealy. He, first of all, his background is incredible, and we're going to talk about that in a second. When I think of people that are in pain and when I think of people who traditional medicine is just not doing anything and they're getting prescribed all these medications, I mean, you know, because we've talked about it before on this show. So we're going to talk to him about that, and also his wife, his departed wife, who was probably a tremendous woman that I would have loved to meet, Mary Charlotte. She wrote a book called, ready for this, Horses Whispering, Finding Ourselves in the Company of Equus. And so for me, learning how to ride a horse was just an incredible moment in my life that turned something in me. So I know I would have enjoyed meeting her because she did that for so many people. Dr. Shealy, thanks for coming on.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
So let's talk first about you and what you did as a physician, what you realized was missing and what led to holistic medicine.
Well, actually, when I was in my residency training, one of the treatments for chronic pain was to cut the front half of the spinal cord with a razor blade. It was the most barbarian thing I've ever seen in my life. And as a resident, I thought, this is insane. You go into the operating room, and let's say at least it was sterile. You take a piece of a razor blade and a little thing called a hemostat, so like a pair of pliers, and you cut the front half of the spinal cord. Now, 90% of the time, it will relieve pain on the opposite side of the body. But 10% of the time, it will paralyze them. 10% of the time, they paralyze the leg and the bowel and the bladder, and 100% of the time, they never had another orgasm. And after 8 years, the pain would return. So when I finished my neurosurgical residency, I spent 3 years doing research on pain physiology. And I came up with the idea that we could control pain by stimulating the skin or the spinal cord itself. Now, interestingly, when I introduced that to the American Academy of Neurological Surgeons, they screamed and yelled I was an idiot and all I was talking about because it was only in animals. 3 years later, when I'd done only 6 patients, every neurosurgeon in the room wanted to do the procedure. So all of a sudden, I had introduced TENS, a transcutaneous electrical nerve stimulation, which is still used all over the world, and spinal cord stimulation, which is still used all over the world, but I was being sent 400 patients a year for that procedure. Most of them had had 5 or more unsuccessful operations. And they were on Percodan and Valium, which I wouldn't give to a pig. And so in 1971, I decided somebody's got to find a way to take care of these people who fail conventional medicine. So I founded something called the Pain Rehabilitation Center. And over the first year, I worked with, actually, I saw about 25 patients a month in hospital for 1 month each. And by the end of the first year, doing my autogenic training, which I'd also introduced, and biofeedback, and these two electrical stimulations, we had a success rate of 80% of getting people off drugs and out of pain. And, of course, eventually it went to everything else, because let's look at the average drugs and illnesses like diabetes, adult onset. I can control adult onset diabetes 95% of the time without drugs. I can control high blood pressure 99.9% of the time without drugs. And I can control depression and anxiety 95 or 99% of the time without drugs. So basically, actually what I've found in those first few years was our results were so good, I went back in 1974 to get a PhD in psychology, in humanistic psychology. And that led me to the concept of holistic medicine. And so in May of 1978, I founded the American Holistic Medical Association. And that's what I've done ever since. Basically, all of my patients are people who fail conventional medicine or who won't try it. And now, over the years, I tried and tried and tried and tried to find a physician that I trusted to take over. You know, after all, I am getting up there in age, although I'm still active. My daughter says I don't know how to retire, but I don't want to retire. But actually, 5 years ago, I found a soul brother. I walked into a room to attend a workshop I'd invited to attend, and I recognized this guy as someone I knew 800 years ago when I was with St. Francis of Assisi. Now, actually, I had the spontaneous knowing that I was with St. Francis 30 years ago. And in 2005, the reincarnated St. Francis recognized me at a meeting. He came down to say that I was one of his companions. Meanwhile, I'd met the other two, there were 4 of us who were companions. I'd met the other two, and the 3 of us had gone to Assisi in June of 2015. And two or 3 days after I came home from Assisi, I met Sergei, the 4th one. And he is now my medical partner. He's only 46 years of age. But he's got the personality. Because in order to do what we do, which is totally outside, you know, conventional medicine, you got to have a strong personality. And not care about convention.
Right. And you've seen it work with so many people. I mean, so it's got to be, I mean, it's your life's purpose. There's no question.
Of course. There's only one purpose in life for any of us, to help other people. But, hey, to me, the person who made this is quite as important as I am. I might be bored out of my gourd trying to do that, but I appreciate it and everything, and like this computer, that kind of thing. So anything you're doing that helps other people, taking the cap on your head, you know, it's all just as important.
That's right. I have a CBS sports cap from sports casting. It's right, because people need to get their sports. It's so fascinating. We could talk about this for hours, but I want to get to the book, too. Tell me about Mary Charlotte and horses and how her love for horses developed and what happened.
Well, she got interested in horseback riding in 1966 when we moved to La Crosse, Wisconsin. And I bought her an Appaloosa horse, you know, to ride, and she got into dressage. And next thing you know, she's teaching dressage. And so we moved to a farm, and for the next 40 years, we raised Appaloosa horses. We averaged about 45 horses. And I love horses in general, but Appaloosas, you know, the spotted ones.
Beautiful.
Are my favorite, obviously. And so she spent her life teaching people who had great emotional problems because they'd had an accident, or who were adults and had never learned to ride and were a little skittish. And so this work was actually her workbook and her experience of working with scores of women, mostly, but a few men, who got back into horseback riding that way. And from my point of view, it was a wonderful time because it allowed us to have her at home as a mother living on a farm while her children were growing up as well.
And did the children like the Appaloosas too, and the horses and riding?
Yes. But unfortunately, as with most people, two of them became attorneys and one of them became a psychologist, so they don't do it now, but they grew up loving it.
Well, that's the key thing. You gave them that background. So, Mary Charlotte started writing the book, and you wanted, she passed away before it could be published. She would be so proud of this. What do you think she would want people to take away from reading her book?
Okay, I think how to use horses and horseback riding really to be happy and get into your spiritual self. This, to me, is one of the great spiritual disciplines, if you will, to get in touch with God and the divine.
Yeah, and so if people get the book, they can certainly learn about that, learn about her love for horses and what horses are. And you said something
exactly.
So interesting to me, that horses are like dogs.
Oh, yes. I mean, actually, as I said, if they were small enough, they'd be in your house.
I like it. So you can find this book easily on Amazon. Horses Whispering, Finding Ourselves in the Company of Equus, Mary Charlotte Sheely. That's what the book is under. It's very, very easy to find. Doc, come on again. You were just terrific.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is life should be fun to me. And my fun is working with people who have problems. If I could take somebody and help them get well and enjoy life without harming them in any way whatsoever with a drug. Now, again, in acute illness, you may need drugs to save your life. But I do not believe in any chronic disease that I would allow a drug in my body. I treat people with cancer, chronic pain of all kinds, acute infections, flu, whatever, with intravenous vitamin C, for instance, among other things. But I also work with a number of other psychological tools myself. And, well, it just has to be what helps. It has to be safe and healthy.
And that's what you were about. And that's, you know, why you founded, when you look at holistic medicine, why you went in that direction and why you did what you've done and with this new partner. And thank you so much for coming on.
Hey, it's my pleasure always. I like to talk.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This time around on Author's Corner, we go to India, just outside of Mumbai. Rupinder Kaur Kaichi joins us. I love that name, Rupinder Kaur Kaichi. And she's got quite a background. She's a doctor and she has written this brilliant collection of poems because I love nature, and I think marrying poetry to nature opens up our soul. That's just me personally. And it's called Sunshine. That's the name of the book. You can find it on Amazon. Rupinder, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me.
So tell me your journey to writing poetry, because you really must have worked hard to become, you're a doctor, you're an anesthesiologist. How does the anesthesiologist brain go to the poetry brain?
That's not a difficult journey, actually. Poetry actually came in much earlier. So I started writing when I was in school, and it continued later, but medicine, when I joined medical school, I took a break from writing because of lack of time, actually, more than anything else. But later it continued once I was into my profession. And not only was it a beautiful journey of writing, but it was a lot of stress buster, you know, because being a cardiac anesthesiologist is very difficult. We see all the difficult heart patients going in for surgery, you know, high-risk patients. So it becomes quite stressful. And poetry just takes that stress away. It just makes you feel so fresh and calm and reassures you. So that's how it has been over the past 20, 25 years that I've been in this profession. Poetry is a passion which just goes along with my work.
Wow. And Sunshine, tell me about Sunshine. If people pick up Sunshine, what can they expect? What's Sunshine about, your poetry?
Sunshine is about poems which will bring optimism in your life, poems which will help you experience the brightness, the peace and warmth, you know, like the sun rays provide when they fall on us. They have an engulfing feeling of caressing tenderness. That feeling Sunshine will bring to you when you read it. And we just need to hold on, you know, to that time when we're reading it and live those emotions. Those emotions will make us fall in love with nature. So Sunshine celebrates nature and just helps us fall in love with it.
Boy, it sure does. And I asked you before we jumped into this interview for everybody listening to pick out one of your favorites. And it's funny, you wouldn't know this about me, but I love waterfalls. Every place I go, I look for waterfalls. I really do. When I travel, I've had the privilege of traveling to so many different places. And that happened to you, and you and I have in common that we think one of the best waterfalls is Niagara Falls. And you've written a poem called Waterfall. Can you do that for us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was on a vacation to Niagara Falls, and it just inspired me to write. So I would really love to share that with you. Waterfall. Meandering through the mountains, toppling over big boulders, gushing past the tall trees goes the river full throttle. Its clear, sizzling waters running past jungles and hills, unaware and unassuming of its future with thrills. Down falls the river, gasping and sighing. Up goes the mist, reaching the clouds up flying. Rumbling and roaring reaches the water below and calms down to rest into a river soft and mellow. Thank you.
Wow, very, very well done. It took me to a different place, and I'm sure other people listening to it as well. Rupinder, when people read Sunshine, what do you hope they take away from reading this collection of poems?
I want people actually to enjoy poetry first, because poetry is dreams. It is the wind beneath your wings. So when you close your eyes and visualize, say, what I've written in Sunshine, I want people to plan their next jungle hike or a stroll in the woods or just simply sit by the riverside playing music, listening to the dancing fish, the birds fluttering off the water from their wings after a refreshing dive, you know. I want them to lose themselves in nature and fall in love with it. I want them to talk to the trees and share their wisdom. I want them to lose themselves in the sunshine, in its warmth, its reassuring and protective embrace, you know. So actually, poetry has a power to connect, to disentangle, and to heal. So when poetry is sung, it becomes absolutely mesmerizing. It's a beautiful thread, a very delicate thread that binds societies and nations as one connected world, perhaps even generations together, you know. So it just makes the whole universe as one, including science and art. So, I mean, just as a doctor, perhaps I can appreciate the beautiful technicalities of the human body. For example, if we talk about heart, you know, heart has been the seat of love since generations. It's inspired a lot of poets to write heartwarming poetry. But a lot of scientists see it in a different different angle, you know, the discovery of state's anatomy and the working principles, it's no less poetic as it is scientific. So if we see, it's each muscle fiber is a piece of art, singing the poetry of life very scientifically. As some would put it, it would be heard as lub-dub, you know, a lot of people would connect to that. So I want them to appreciate poetry and enjoy it. And once they enjoy poetry, so Sunshine is all about nature, and they fall in love with nature. That's when I hope they will start thinking of respecting nature, you know. You respect nature, you conserve nature. So once we start conserving nature, we will save a lot of calamities that, you know, we've had to bear in over the last few years. They're increasing tremendously. Say, the floods that have happened last year in Indonesia, in India, in China, in Japan, you know, and a lot of the fires, the bushfires in Australia, in California. So all these, I feel, are happening because you're disrespecting nature. We're not taking care of it as we should be. That's causing the rise in temperature and all these calamities. So if we respect it, if we coexist with it peacefully and lovingly, you know, we will save ourselves so many disasters. So we need to fall in love to do it willingly as one world, not as individuals, you know. It is good that individuals, a lot of individuals are doing it. But then we need to work it out as one world towards nature. That's how I feel. I want people to take it forward. I would be very happy if my book can inspire people to conserve nature and work as one towards its conservation.
Oh, what a beautiful place to end this. Rupinder, if people want to get your book, and I've said Amazon, I guess that's one of the best places. Is that the best place to go?
Yeah, that's the best place. It's easily available. And they can also visit my website. That's www.rupinderkaurkh.com. A lot of information there if they need to connect. I've written two other books as well. So maybe if they like, one is Dewdrops. And the third one is Beats of Thought. So they can read whichever one they want. They can buy it. Amazon is the best site.
Perfect. And it was just a delight to meet you and have this conversation with you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate. It's been an absolute pleasure. And just sharing thoughts on nature and poetry, it just rejuvenates me, you know. And I'm sure, I just hope everybody enjoys this as much as I've enjoyed it.
Yep, and I hope that they pick up your book and they sit by a tree and they read it and they get carried off in a much more interesting direction, I think. To be able to enjoy nature is really, really a great gift. So thank you. You've been a gift to join us. And thanks to all of you, the listeners, for listening to this interview and, of course, the show. Make it count, everybody.
This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.